really just nothing else to say but thank you. Oh, to bless you, to praise you, to glorify you. We thank you for loving us like you do. And Lord, to be brought into the knowledge of your love for us, the fullness of it, the wonder of it, the passion of it. Lord, the perfection of your love. Lord, that perfecting power that only the knowledge of your love can bring. Thank you, Lord, how it causes us to rise up, to cry out to you, we love you, Jesus. To call out to you and say, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you that all of our expectation is from you and in you. Because we are what we are by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you open your Bibles today to Philippians 3, begin with a precious verse we love so and received last week by the power of the Holy Ghost. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul saying, as he said many times throughout his writings to the brethren, brethren, be followers together of me. Brethren, be followers together. Isn't that beautiful? Together, together, we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Now last week, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost inspired us, I believe. That wonderful grace, brothers and sisters, that grace that has chosen us in Christ. That wonderful grace that has predestinated us in Christ. And we saw that, praise be to God, we've been predestinated in that as these Philippian thoroughbred champion horses. Not just thoroughbreds and not just horses, but the champions. Praise the Lord. And we were encouraged last week specifically by the food that the champions eat on. So sweet, we saw that it was a specific grass that in some respects is almost exclusively found in the hills area of Kentucky. And that's why they bring all of those thoroughbreds there and breed them there and they're conceived there. It's because of what they eat. And what's found in that grass that's not found anywhere else, it has certain nutrients and calcium and different things that make these horses have stronger bones and they grow bigger and they mature faster. And they seem to even have more determination to run. And remember, these horses are bred for one thing, to run in a race, and they're bred to win. Now, we saw that for us, that praise be to God. It's the same. The Lord, if we are going to truly be those that will be the champions, there is a food we must have. It's specific, just like that grass for those thoroughbreds. It's known as the strong meat in the Word of God, the strong meat that was brought through the Apostle Paul. It's known as the bridal message. And brothers and sisters, it is the only feeding that will grow you up into Him in all things. It's the only feeding that will grow up the children of God into the mature sons of God. And I thank the Lord. It's just made plain. It isn't something to wrestle with or think about. You don't have time to think. The only thing you have time to do is to believe. And it's time to believe the word of God. Now, we rejoice that this food was essential. And praise be to God. The essentialness of that feeding is a wondrous thing. But one of the other things that was ministered to my heart, which I love, that can only be attributed to this magnificence of these champion horses, is, brothers and sisters, every single one of those 13, remember I mentioned last week, 150 years they've been running this Triple Crown, basically, okay? If you take all the horses that were bred for it throughout that whole time, 10 million horses for that Triple Crown. Hardest crown to win in any sporting event. Has to be a 3-year-old, so you only get one chance. You're only 3 one time. Amen. That's it. You know, it's not like, you know, the Super Bowl or whatever where you can go back and get 5, 6, 7 rings. You get one. You get one shot. One time, that's it. Three different races, three different tracks. Doesn't matter what's going on in that track. It might be raining. You might get mud in your face. You might get a lot of different things. You may not be feeling well. Well, they're not changing the date. They're not changing the church age. The gospel isn't changing. The mark for the prize for the high calling of God is exactly that. Paul said, preach no other gospel. Paul said, give heed to what I say. Hear what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. I don't know how much clearer the Word of God could be. And that's why the Word of God says it's the simplicity of the gospel. See, what happens with us is we don't want to settle down in the simplicity of the gospel. We don't want to take the Word of God for what it says and what it is. And the reason is because we don't want the Lord in His grace to really work that faith in our life. We sure need the Holy Ghost, don't we? Amen. Oh, yes, we do. Lord, put more of that love in my heart. Help me to be humble. Help me to be attentive. Help me not to just pass through and to not pay attention to this incredible grace, this mercy that's being poured out to my life. Not just to everybody, but I'm going to just take it to me. To me. He did this for me. He did this for you. Praise be to God. He set you at that well just like He set that woman. Do you want it all? Well, I don't know. What's wrong with us? We hear this time and time again. Lord, make that move in my heart. Help me to move now. No more delaying. No more contemplating. Get rid of me and Lord, let me just let it be all you. So there it is. You had those 13 horses that have won that triple crown, over 10 million that participated. And brothers and sisters, there was something else that stood out that woman testified to me. She said every single one of them had champions in their backgrounds. Their bloodline, their pedigree. Because champions always spring from champions. And that's the truth. Now, but I'm going to tell you this about our lineage. It's not in the bloodline. Our lineage is in the teaching. Our lineage is in the preaching. Our lineage is in the gospel of Paul. Because that is the champion line. That's where it is. And that's this precious verse that we have there. And that's why Paul says, and he says in other places, to heed my words, understand my words. It'll grow you up into all things. It will cause you to have understanding in all things. Brethren, be followers of me as I am of Jesus Christ. Amen. He tells them that by my gospel that was given to me, the Lord is going to judge the hearts of men. He's going to judge in that heart. Brothers and sisters, isn't just a heart, whether it's going to heaven or hell. It's the heart that is that heart in love with me. That's the measure of this gospel. That's what this is about, to the measure, the stature, and the fullness of Him. Thank you, Jesus, that we have this opportunity to come into this now and believe. And I love how Paul says this in this place where he says, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as an example, as you've seen me walk. And you have to take it in context with what he's saying here, even in this chapter. Just a few verses earlier, this is all about following me for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is all about following me if by any means I might attain to the first rapture, that first resurrection, that first trumpet blast, that I might attain to be in the bride of Christ. Amen. And that's what Paul is saying. That's why you follow me, because this was given to me. This was the revelation that was revealed to me. This was the mystery that was hidden from the prophets. They wrote these things for us, but they could not see into those things. The Bible says that about 7 different times in 7 different ways, that those ones that wrote those things, they wanted to see it. The sons of men, the angels wanted to look into it. But it wasn't for them. It was for us. It was for us. Thank the Lord. There were only so many in the upper room at that time. It was for them. It was Noah. The plan for the wonderful ark was for him. It blessed seven others. Matter of fact, it's blessing a multitude here today. But see, man thinking with his mind, and see, when we think with our natural mind, that's not going to be the mind of Christ. You can say, well, that's okay to think. No, it's really not. Not when we're talking about the things of God. It's either of God or it's of mammon. And I don't want to think with that when we're thinking of the things of God. I want the Lord to truly have his way. And Lord, help me to have this heart that just cleaves and latches on to your word. But see, brothers and sisters, this is what's so beautiful, that Paul was the first one that was given this revelation. Paul was it. Paul speaks of that. He says this revelation that was, no one knew this, it was never revealed before, but it was revealed to me for you. And I love how that said, it wasn't just for me, it was for me for you. Praise God. And if you got here earlier, about 35 minutes ago, you had the first sermon, and we had a lot of good stuff. They don't really record that one, that's why you got to show up. Those are those. But it was about the early rain and the latter rain. Amen. Amen. And speaking again of the Holy Ghost pouring out. The early rain was when the Holy Ghost poured out. They're right at Pentecost. This prophet spoke that it would. And here it came, and boom, they were in that upper room, and pfft, that wonderful early rain of the Holy Ghost poured out. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Here comes Paul a few years later. The Lord brings forth that full revelation of that mystery because man was ready to receive it then. Because they had been given the Holy Ghost, that they could be led into all truth. It's just the word of God. Whoop, right? But that was the early rain. And then the prophet, Hosea chapter 6, other places, Joel speaks of a latter rain. Once again, we're speaking of the Holy Ghost. There was an early rain of the Holy Ghost and a latter rain of the Holy Ghost. And we thank the Lord that, you know what? After that early rain, it seemed to cease. As we spoke earlier today, you know, you don't read about the infilling of the Holy Ghost for centuries. Centuries. It's not written anywhere or talked about or anything of that nature. It's dormant. Because the Word of God said there would be a latter rain. Going to rain just like it rained when it came out of Pentecost. And thanks be to God, you know what? That rain came forth in 1906, and it did. Read the Azusa Street. Get your Google and search Azusa Street, the hills of Kentucky. That's when the Holy Ghost was poured out once again in the latter rain, as the Word of God said, upon this planet. And that's the truth out there in California in those precious churches. It's wonderful. There in the hills of Kentucky, wonderful. And as we rejoiced last week, it just so happened that there was this guy. His name was A.S. Copley. And he was 46 at the time. And he was a minister. And he was out there preaching the truth. And it was funny because he was up in, and it wasn't just exclusive to the hills of Kentucky and Azusa out there in California. It went other places. But it was magnified in those places. It was written of in those places. And there were thousands of people that got filled in 1906 in those places. Because the Lord poured it forth. Just like when he hit, you know, when he hit that upper room, when those hundreds were gathered in the upper room. How many were filled in that upper room? All of them. All of them. All of them were filled and all of them spoke in other tongues. Because that's your infilling. Just the word of God. It wasn't some of them and some of them. It was all of them and all of them. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. And so I thank God as that wonderful Holy Ghost was poured out again. It filled all of these people with the Holy Ghost. It was beautiful. It said that they were listening and they could hear the people praising God, speaking in other tongues all throughout those hills of Kentucky at night. But there was Brother Copley traveling around. He was in Oregon and all these things. But he happened to be right back there on the border of Kentucky. Those hills go across to Ohio. They're like this, if you know your geography. And there was in 1906, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. That was when it just poured out. It was amazing. And so we're thankful that we see that that revelation of, or that outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it touched him. But I thank God that as Paul, I'm going to say this very matter of fact, because the Lord shown it and revealed it. That bridal message was given to Paul. That's it. And then from Paul, praise God, Paul taught others, preached that, others received it. Amen. I will tell you this, all those thousands that were filled in 1906, I don't read of anyone else. And I told you, within 2 years, Brother Copley has already started the magazine to start printing about the bridal message. But it wasn't printed anywhere else. It wasn't preached anywhere else. The Lord divinely touched that vessel to bring forth the precious bridal message. And just like Paul was the first after the early rain, I believe wholeheartedly in understanding what I understand and seeing how the Holy Ghost and as the Lord does exactly as the Word of God says, here came that infilling again of the Holy Ghost. The latter rain was poured out, and my, oh my, it was for a purpose. It always is. And it was for the purpose of the whole counsel of God to be received. I just sit here and wonder of the grace of God that we've been met with. And I thank the Lord again, not just in the church age of these last 2,000 years. I'm talking about precisely that we are at the end of the church age at the latter rain. If you know anything about weather, I'll tell you what, the latter rain even rains harder than the early rain. And that's the truth. But I thank God because, brothers and sisters, you know, again, there was such an encouragement to my heart that this brother was touched and he was given that. And here we are, the saints today. We're here because, and I will state this, and so thankful. We're here today because of the grace of God that was with Brother Copley. Somehow, some way, I mean, I have spoken to ones. And I'm thankful for the testimony of the Lord in my life. I'm not talking to everybody about the Lord all the time, but the Lord has me to. Amazing, my conversations often in Christ with strangers and different ones. I told you I have a shirt, just tell me everything. They find me as I'm sitting by myself, and I kid you not. My sis knows me. As a kid, I just stood on the wall like this and didn't want anybody to ever notice me, and I don't want to be noticed. But it's something about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He brings people to you. But in many conversations, there's been times I've been thankful to see how much truth people have taken, and very close to the point of that, but not to the true manifestation of it, of the bridal message, no. And without exception, the ones that I've always met that have known and truly rejoiced and loved this truth, somehow, some way, you can connect those dots. Just like with Sister Vicki Moots, her family, and she's digging through the trash because she was so poor they would go out to the dump to get their stuff. And she's going through a garbage heap with her dad. And she happens to pick up a Grace and Glory. Hmm? What do you think? Sometimes the Lord has some very peculiar dining places. You better watch out when he's got a date with you. You might not want to be there. But it's the only place he's going to take you. But see, that's how it is. And you think about how the Lord does this. But that is God, and that's how he works. That's how his chosen are. He does it that way. Been mentioning it a lot lately. It was Noah. It was Moses. And I love it. Even his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. Oh, are you the only one God talks to? Are you God's choice? How's that leprosy working out for you, Miriam? You know the story? Do you? Yeah, they challenged Moses. Who do you think you are? I'm sure people are maybe hearing this today. Who do you think you are? I know who I am in Christ. I know what I've been given. I know who I get to preach to. I know what I'm preaching. And I know one thing, God will not be mocked. His word is true. And I know in due time, honeys, you may not feel like it, but in due time, he will exalt you. And he will, and he'll exalt you to a wonder. If you didn't have a body like unto his own, you'd come completely apart. And it's still going to be close. Those that know what I'm talking about, you know. And I ask you, plead with you, if you don't, stick around. Let the Holy Ghost take you in. You'll be so glad you let him do it. You think about King Saul. He thought he was the guy because the people chose him. David was God's choice all the time. As it said in Isaiah 11, it said that it's coming out of the root of Jesse. And brothers and sisters, I believe this. I believe this. God has chosen us for his bride. He doesn't give this message just to just give this message. It's precise. That's why even Jesus didn't start telling his disciples what he wanted to tell them at that time. You know Jesus wanted to tell his disciples everything. But he's not going to give something to someone that's not going to be received. He's not going to go ahead and grow that in there. And not going to happen. See, that's the foreknowledge of God. That's why people will say, well, what about the people over here and the people that live in that country and this country and this country? This is God we're talking about. God brought each and every one of us divinely. Our lives are from everywhere. We got here somehow. Lots of different ways, all right? But I have to look to God, how he brought my life here. How he brought your life here. Everyone, hallelujah. When we're up there by the grace of God and rejoicing with our crowns, are we going to murmur at all how God brought us here? Well, I'll tell you what, and I mean this very sincerely to every life here. Don't be murmuring now, because you won't be rejoicing in that full exaltation of his glory. You won't. God can do it. I've seen God do it in every life. I've grown up. I've seen God's elect walk before me as a kid. It's been amazing to watch. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. And here we are again today. This is what's so glorious. Because this is him. This is what he does. We're not of here. We're not from here. We are now the sons of God. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We are but one in him. Isn't that amazing? You think about the divisions that are going on in this life. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Race went just right out the window. There isn't in him. There's neither bond nor free, class, high class, low class, whoop, right out the window. One in him, praise God. Oh, and now let's get it. Because man and woman, we sure can't get along. No way. Uh-uh. But there's neither male nor female, so sex just went right out the window. What do you think? I like his mind. I'm so thankful for the mind of Christ. It's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It eliminates all the distraction. It's him, brothers and sisters. It's him. And we better lock in because he's calling. And he's calling today. Now, brothers and sisters, this bridal message, I'll just tell you this. We got to move on this. It's tiny. This bridal company is what I'm saying. It's tiny. All right? It is. you think in Paul's day. Here's what Paul said at the end as I was preaching to those kids. All in Asia have forsaken me, every one of them. Those were all the churches that he went out and preached to, every one of them for 30 years about, preaching that bridal message, how they rejoiced, how they were so thankful, how they were on fire, the letters that he wrote them, commending their faith, commending their love. But the very last thing he says is, all of them have forsaken me. And it wasn't Paul, they're forsaking my gospel, the gospel that was given to me for them, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was saying. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you truthfully, is it just basking in Paul's gospel and basking in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for a moment? Is that winning? It's not. Because Paul said specifically to the church of Ephesus, John said this to them, thou hast left thy first love. See, they had it. They were like those that, as Paul's speaking of, they've forsaken it. It's not their love. Oh, they understand it. They know of it. But it's not their love. It's not their first love. That's why Paul says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You have this crown gospel. What of this life is worth laying that down? And you had to let it be taken. It wasn't forced from you. You let it be taken. I don't want to be there. I need the grace of God. I need that mercy from him. I want to fight a good fight of faith. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is the truth. And it's here and it's apparent. And he's bringing it forth. And it's in such fullness of just vivid. God, help us keep making the move. Not just make the move, but keep making the move. Moving with him. Move with him. Now, if you forsake Paul's gospel, if I forsake Paul's gospel, you know what? I don't win. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to ask you then, how many won back then? If all in Asia had forsaken him, and you know, if you know the word of God, he's calling for Timothy, a few women. Bring me Mark. 15, 20. How many got in the ark? 8. How many went on into the promised land that originally came out of Egypt? 2. Gideon, how many are you going to take with you? 300. Amen, sister. Amen. This is thankfulness we're talking about here, brethren. Thankfulness beyond what you could ever speak. Only the Holy Ghost can utter stuff like that back to God. And you know what I'm saying. But it's time to speak truth and to understand this. And I don't believe much has changed in this day either, brothers and sisters. And I mean that. How many have run well? I don't want to be of those that Paul had to tell to Galatia, who hath bewitched you. Huh? God, help us to never take this for granted. I was telling those kids, and I mean that, and sitting here and having the privilege to hear this truth all these years. I'm almost 60. I grew up on these pews. And it wasn't because I grew up on these pews because I'm here. No. It's the grace of God that's with me, the same grace of God that's with you. Whether you were here for 60 years or you've been in here for 60 minutes. But all that matters is right now I'm looking to him for my life and yours too. Lord, quicken us. Quicken us. There might be more sermons here. I can't keep you anymore. The best part that I was going to tell you about, he might have to tell you that when we get to heaven. He might bring it back next week. I don't know. Do you know who you are in Christ? I mean, do you really know who you are? Telling you, brothers and sisters, you're ones as the Apostle Paul was sitting in that prison. Bring me Irma. Bring me Alex. Bring me James. Bring me Aaron. Bring me Sylvia. Do you know that's who you are? John, Michelle, Bob, Debbie. I go on and on. I thank the Lord. And it's not to commend a vessel. No. It's the grace of God. I don't know who's listening out there today, but you know what? You got your name on that too, and you know it. You know it. You know who you are in Christ. You're bold in Him. Thanks be to God. You don't go in there, well, I don't know. You get in there like Esther. Well, I'm led. I'm going to the King today. The King. Isn't that something? And that's who I'm a champion with. I'm with Him. I'm with Him. I'm the champion with the champion of champions. I'm the champion with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm real close to having a body like unto His own. He better get ready to get ravished too. He's been ravishing me for a long time. I had some payback coming, huh? This isn't silly. It's not. It's the elect of God. Amen. Know it. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You and just give You the praise for Your Son. It's in His name, Jesus, that we come boldly to the throne of grace today. Thank You how You deal with us as sons and mature sons. Thank You that the speak that we speak with You is of the Holy Ghost. In that depth, Lord God, yea, the deep things of You, Lord, the conversation and fellowship, meditation that we know, and it's all because of the love wherewith we are loved. We know that love. We know that love from beginning. We know that love in its power and in its might, its purpose, God, in its predestination, Lord Jesus, and Lord, in its finishing power. And Lord, we're here today truly together following Paul as he followed Christ to say thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace to us. Thank You, God, for this election of grace that is to us. And thank You, Lord, for the grace that has given us the faith today to say thank You, Lord. We believe. We believe. And as Your word has said, as Thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And Lord, thank You for the crown. In Jesus' name, we say thank You for the crown. Amen.